Glad to be here. My name is Reverend Leanne Schutt. You can call me Reverend, you can call me Leanne. I like to say you can call me some other name and I might reply. My pronouns are she and they, and I'm zooming in from Ramatush Ohlone Unceded Land, otherwise known as San Francisco, the Tenderloin, if people know that. And I'm happy to be here with you all. Just realizing it's my first time with you all, and yet, I'm here. This is a community for me for sure. So glad to be in community with you all. I'm gonna wait to do the Sangha kind of fellowship after the meditation because it goes with the talk. So if people, feel free to keep saying hi and chat. We'll do verbal highs after the meditation. Otherwise, we're just going to do it now. So we can do it for 30 minutes. And then I can't remember, does this one have a bio break or not? Okay. Well, let's see how we feel after 30 minutes. And then I'll give you the Dharma talk and we'll have some interaction after. All right. So in my tradition, the Soto Zen tradition, I'll ring the bell three times to start and one to end. Here we go. I'll just give you a little bit of instruction. All right, as the body is always present, let's begin by coming into the body itself. And then we do start with the posture, so I'll just invite you to take a position, be it seated, lying down, walking, or standing. That gives you a sense of settledness and stability. And in the beginning, if we can just keep coming back to a posture point, for instance, right now I'm sitting in a chair, and where I feel the body supported by the chair the most, my body, is at the back of my thighs, actually. So I'm just gonna use that as my point to keep returning to, in which I'll know presence and I'll know a sense of being supported. So it's a very visceral knowing, not an intellectual knowing. Not that that's wrong. Just I'll invite you again, because the body is always present. If we're able to bring our awareness to a body point, then we will be present. Just the sensation, not our ideas about it, past or future. It's just right here and right now, as much as possible, and then we just keep coming back to that. If your breath is more of your home anchor, then perhaps feeling the air on the inhale as it enters the left or right or both nostrils, or wherever it is that you feel the presence of your inhale or the presence of your exhale or both. So be quiet for a few minutes as see if we can just keep letting go of anything else that comes up from the day. Not that it's wrong, we're just really practicing though to be right here and right now in this body, this heart, and this mind as it is. And being with a posture or a breath point and just coming to it, resting in it, sustaining that awareness, building concentration in a posture point or a breath point, result in settledness and composure. Right, and in terms of instructions, Shanai is pretty simple. And of course, if you have your own meditation that you're doing, feel free to do that. Not if you'd like to try this on. The invitation is to keep on knowing and resting in arriving. So just keep on coming back to a posture point or a breath point or an emotion or a thought. Whatever that's arising, is there a sense of that you've arrived here and you don't need to do anything about it? You don't need to push it away or grasp at it. Whatever is present, is there a way of knowing that being here with it is a kind of arrival of being with, of accepting and allowing. So I'm actually not going to mute myself. It's like sounds that might take me away from being right here in this body, this heart, and this mind, my ideas about it, my reaction to it. And I practice just coming back to arriving back right here, not rejecting the sound or the smell or the memory or the vision. And yet my commitment is to keep on arriving to the present, right here and right now, to the presence of being alive. With, yet not struggling or grasping, simply is. All right, as we're coming to the end of our formal meditation time, another intentional bringing awareness to arriving right here, right now, in this body, this heart, and this mind. Perhaps us with a deep inhale and exhale, our sense of settledness and body. Being fully with yourself, with each other, in the space and time. How was that for everyone? For those who came on later, my name is Reverend Leanne. You can call me Reverend or Leanne. My pronouns are she and they. I'm zooming in from Ramaytush land, otherwise known as San Francisco. So I'd like us all to unmute and say hi to each other, and I'd like you to do it in a very specific way. So to try it on, and it's a small group, so try to maybe not everyone, but skip around. Don't just do the ones closest to your rectangle. So I'd like you to say welcome home, and then the person's name. Okay, welcome home. That's how we're gonna greet each other. when I give talks, I like to make them relevant and also encouraging. So, with the holidays coming up, I think it's a time in which many of us go home to family, chosen or otherwise, or to gathering. In fact, on today, I went to the farmers market down at Civic Center, and on the way back at the Asian Art Museum, there was lion dancing. And I'm pretty sure I drove through Sacramento, the outskirt, which has a very high Hmong population. I think it's the Hmong New Year. I did try to Google it, and there's many dates, and it's technically the end of the 12th month of the lunar year, which could be now. I don't really know, to be honest. I couldn't quite figure it out. So there are a lot of holidays, and so a lot of holidays there's gathering. And often there are a lot of expectations. And at time, perhaps often for some of us, or at times, there's a lot of disease, perhaps even crises that go along with family gatherings or groups of people gathering. I know, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was 1984 was when I came out to my parents on a Thanksgiving. I came home for that, for Thanksgiving, and came out to them. Right? No crises, but awkwardness for sure, but no crises for me, thank goodness. And for maybe for them too, I don't know. Yeah. So I thought I'd talk today to focus on what our experience can be about home, no matter where we find ourselves. As an immigrant, as an Asian American woman, certainly the idea of home is a big thing for me. And I'd like to say that the intention to me of Buddhism or practice, one way of framing it is to say that we're practicing to come home to ourselves, and come home to this moment, to come home to our life as it is. And by that, I don't mean just my life, but it's our life and the earth, to being present right here in our lives. We're Zooming, so we're all in each other's homes, I think. Maybe it's a workplace or whatever. I mean, it's hard to tell, but most of us are. I mean, I have to admit to you that I kind of like Zoom in the sense that I can look behind people and say, oh, yeah, look, Emiko's got a Buddha statue that looks like that, and look at that picture or whatever, right? I did upgrade recently my computer, so now I could have a background, but I chose not to, so you can see part of my home here. And so in a way, we've welcomed each other into our homes just by showing up here together. And also as a sangha, as a chosen sangha, we have come to the space as a haven. So it's a kind of, for most of us, we'd like to think of home as a haven, a place in which we're accepted, we're validated, we're seen, we're connected to in some ways, right? So there's a settledness, there's an arriving, hopefully, when we come home. So sounds nice. How do we practice really knowing that we are home? For me, what I want to talk about that in terms of today is about presence. And first, I would say it's presence in our body, right? Or as we could say it, on the cushion. And in meditation, in fact, we come into this body, this heart, and this mind as it is. We arrive right here and right now. Suzuki Roshi in a 1968 talk entitled Correct Zazen is Your Home. So Zazen's the Japanese Soto Zen word, or Zen word for, technically it means just Zen, or just Za is just, Zen is the Sino-Japanese pronunciation of the Chinese pronunciation of the Sanskrit. So the Chinese is Chan and the Sanskrit's Jhana, right? Which is technically just concentration. But the idea much more in Zen is that we're just sitting. It means that we're just doing this thing. And so he says, correct Zazen is your home. He says, even though many of you are, this is in 1968, in which he's speaking to the, why he came to attend to the Japanese American community in Japantown. He was at this point, had started San Francisco Zen Center, which were a lot of young hippies that had shown up to alter their minds without drugs, originally, many of them. And so he says, even though many of you are young enough to cope with the busy life, when you learn where you are and what you are doing, the difference will be great. Zazen can lead you to this position, this home. Correct Zazen is your home. It is where you come from and where you will go when you die. When you have a home and know where your home is, Your problems have no place to go. Excuse me, your problems have a place to go. That's a big misreading. I'll read that sentence again. When you have a home and know where your home is, your problems have a place to go. And then they are not problems anymore. The only problem is when your problems have no place to go. That is why we suffer. We come out from Buddha and we go back to Buddha nature. Your life is not so long, actually. It is very important for us to know where we are and in what direction we are exerting effort. To know our position, we must be at one with the whole universe. So he actually gives us two ways or two tools in which to come to the position of home, to come home to. So, do you know where you are and what you are doing? I think that for most of us, most of the time, we don't know where we are, right? I remember one of my favorite songs from the Talking Heads, and the movie, what was the name of the movie, of the Talking Head concert movie, where he goes, "How did I get here? How did I get here?" Right? It's like we wake up to like, "Oh, how did I get here? We don't know. I don't know where I am. I don't know how I'm arrived here," right? So we often live unconscious of being really present and in our lives. We often think live in the past or you live in the future, of course. And so similar to not being present to the where of our being, what we're doing is again unconscious. This is why I talked about really being in the body, because the body is always present. If your awareness is where your body is, be it posture or be it breath, and that's what you have. We come out breathing and our body, right? And we die with this body and this breath, right? Whatever else in between that you have doesn't matter, right? And so that's what it means by, we come in with that and we leave with that. We are born with it and we die with it. This posture, this body, and the breath. So when we are aware of the body itself, then we are present. Similar to that, we're also not aware of what we're doing, right? So, what are you doing? Many times, we are watching TV as we're eating, and then before we know it, the plate is empty, and you're like, "What was dinner exactly?" Right? And so then you go fill up your plate again, and to think, to almost have another dinner. I mean, I know I do that, or I eat for taste because I didn't taste it when I was eating. Right? So we want to be aware of what we're doing. Same thing with walking. That's why there's walking meditation to bring us to awareness of the processy of walking until we're walking completely. So it's not whatever we're doing, eating, walking, sitting, standing, the activity of our lives, right? So just this. So we're practicing, when we practice, we're really practicing to be present. Sure, there are a lot of tools about how to work with how we can't be present, essentially, but the essence, I had a practice discussion with somebody earlier. And a student, and they were like, "Oh, I'm having a hard time with my identifying emotion." And then I'm practicing, and I've identified, but I'm like, "What am I supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do with it?" And I was like, "You are just with it. That's what we're practicing. In fact, a lot of time we're practicing to see what we do with it that is not being with it." We're practicing to manipulate it. "Oh, I'm angry. I don't want to be angry. I'm angry. Oh, yeah, I want to be more angry. And then I'll do this, this, and this." So we're not just with the emotion and the experience of anger. So this is why and the irony of a mindfulness is we make anger an object to watch how it comes and goes. to know anger. And in that knowing, getting closer and closer, eventually we experience the anger versus our idea about anger or ourselves as being angry. So I think in particular there, I'm going to offer you tonight three practices for how do we experience where we are and what we're doing. First, we pause. We literally stop, right? This is what meditation, right? Yeah, you could be walking, but it's an intentional walking. So there's a pausing. And again, if you're doing walking meditation with instruction, it's telling you how to walk. And in that, it's pausing and noticing walking. Otherwise, you know, we are sitting, we're standing, we're lying down, right? So we pause. Mindfulness is the practice of mindfulness is the same thing. You're stop remembering to pause to observe, which is the next thing, right? But the pause is basically to stop us from that habitual turning away of our experience, from our experience, or making it into something else as opposed to what it is. So we do that. What supports that is to observe. So first we pause and then we observe. One word you could also say is investigate. That's the practice instruction of the first noble truth, by the way. So we observe or we investigate the qualities of what's happening right here as much as possible, just what is happening. Even in this instruction on breath awareness, I ask you to notice the air as you inhale or exhale, you know. Anapanasati is basically really giving you clear way of understanding what is the sensation of the qualities of the breath itself. So what's happening right now, not our ideas of it, not our ideas about how it should be or how it could be or how we are in it. So then when we do that, what we're doing is we're experiencing it. We're setting up a container by pausing and observing to experience what we are or what is happening or what is, right? And I gave you all that instruction and then I just said, essentially, is. You're just ising, right? We experience what is here. So we're practicing to become more and more aware of where we are and what we're doing. So yes, that's a practice that's we could say is on the cushion or in formal meditation. Also notice when I ended the meditation, I said, and now our formal meditation is over. In Zen in particular, and of course doing retreats in mindfulness or in insight practice, you're asked to bring that same awareness, that pausing, that observing, that experiencing off your cushion or, you know, your meditative posture, whatever it is, into walking and then into eating, into, you know, how you desire, into your emotional state, but really into activity, because that's harder with movement. This is why pausing and being still is so emphasized in meditation practice. So we want to do it in activity. So in Zen in particular, we take that into rituals. And I know that holidays, there are a lot of rituals, isn't there? I mean, you know, your family might not say, this is now the ritual of X, Y, or Z, but there are a lot of, you know, in my family, we always had holiday dinners at 2 o'clock. Then we, you know, then we bring out the special tablecloth and dishes that are only used at that time. You know, I had to set the table and there's the big fork, then the little fork on the outside, you know, this knife turns in the fork, the spoon is to the right, and if you had a, you know, I don't know, little things for crab or whatever, you put them on top, you know, the water glass, I think, was on the outside. God, since my mother died, I haven't set a formal table in a long time. So it's a water glass on the outside, and then the wine glass, I think, is on the inside, right? So that's a ritual. That's a way that, you know, you're supposed to set things up. So in Zen, as many of you know, we have a lot of rituals, and a lot of it is to practice the things of really knowing, what am I doing? Where is this? And my body in relation to objects. Right? Of course, also the intention behind it all. But really, it's a very much a mindfulness practice of how we hold our body. What am I doing? And where am I? In the activity of doing, we know exactly, my hand is like this. You know, in Zen, we walk with our hands like this, because now you know what your where your hands are and what you're doing with your hands. Otherwise, is it, oh, I'm going to stick it in my pocket, I'm going to put it behind me, you know. This. And then the mind gets scattered, as opposed to, you know, with mindfulness, when you have forms or rule, what sounds like rules or ritual, now your mind doesn't have to wander off deciding what to do with your hands. You put your hands here, and now the mind is just still concentrated on the breath as you're walking or whatever it is that you're doing, right? So it's ritual. So try this on. Try this on. Okay. I'm going to do a Zen gassho, right? That's a bow, right? So you're going to put your, you can follow with me if you like. Try it on. Put your two palms to, oh, your fingers are together, which comes from tea, right? The way of tea, by the way. Fingers are together. Notice if you want the real, the instruction given at San Francisco Zen Center, the top of my finger is where my nose is, but it's a fist away, right? And then you put your forearms up so that it's parallel to the ground. And then when you go to do a bow, you don't collapse into, this is called gassho, this mudra, so this bow. So you don't collapse into it, but you keep the same space here. So you bow like this. Now, notice that, you know, if I didn't say keep this space here, then there'll be many different ways, right? Now, part of the thing is not just to, next, okay. So having done that, sorry, let me pause here. So you have to pause to listen, don't you? So that's part of practice. You're pausing to go, okay, what am I doing? Where are my hands going to be, right? Now, however, most of us, when we listen to information, especially as instructions, we have reactions. Maybe some of you are like, oh my God, I'm going to get off. Those Zen people, this is why I do insight. I don't want all that ritual. When she's making me do a ritual, right? I don't want to. Right? Or maybe if you're like, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I doing it correctly? Are people judging me? Notice deep listening is pausing, right? It's pausing and letting go of your evaluations, your opinions, your comments, your instruction, you know, when you hear things, in this case, instruction. So, what we also practice, and this is why Zen and the forms are also there, because it helps us to observe what comes up when we're given instruction. Zen's really great at working with your idea about authority. Right? They told me how to do this. Why? You know? Except I'm volunteering to do Zen, right? Except for this is what comes up, our patterns of reactions. And where is it that it brings on more suffering? And where is it that it can be less suffering? And so with time, you know, when there's like when you give a Dharma, when there's a Dharma talk is being given, we chant before and we chant after, right? And we know when to start the chant because it's a bigger bell, but there's a sound that's called. And then when you hear that, then your hands go up, right? And at first you might go, oh yeah, my mudra is better than their mudra. Oh, look, they're collapsing when they bow. Or, oh, it's not at the nose. Or, look, wait, mine's wrong, you know? So all sorts of stuff come up. And then with practice, you start to let that go because you realize nobody is paying attention. Or your teacher is and I've told you, and you practice. What is my reaction when I'm given constructive criticism or not, right? Depending. And so what is it that keeps on observing how am I in life? Where do my ideas about this gets in the way of the hands coming together right here in a bow to show respect or to show mindfulness? You know, Thich Nhat Hanh says when you put your hands together, it's like the meeting of duality, right, into oneness. So with time, you hear this, and the hands just come together. There's no thinking of whether it should or shouldn't, right or wrong, good or bad. And when that happens, then I'm just doing this. I'm not distracted about the doing of this mudra. There's a Chinese proverb, I'll just say it. It's a little more complex than this, but it will go like this. First, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. Then mountains are no longer mountains and rivers are no longer rivers. In the end, mountains are again mountains and rivers are again rivers. This is from Chan Master Shen Yan from Zen Wisdom. So first, right, in this example, I asked you to do a gassho. So first, this is a mountain and it's a gassho. Then when mountains are no longer mountains, it's all my thoughts about them. I'm no longer just doing the gassho. And then in the end, a gassho is just a gassho and a mountain's a mountain. It's just like when you see a mountain, first you see it, but then you're like, oh, it's too big. Are we really gonna hike up that mountain? Oh no, there's snow. I didn't have the right clothes. Oh no, it's a too cloudy of a day. Oh no, it's too sunny of a day. So you no longer are with the mountain. And even your walk up the mountain, there are a lot of opinions and ideas about it, right? I love hiking, and how much of it is I'm actually just walking the hiking. But that I don't mean that's wrong to look around and have opinions, mind you. But we're practicing to see how we're not present with things. And in the end, if we can, if we're present, then this step is with this mountain. Sometimes it's at an angle, sometimes flat, sometimes it's down, sometimes it's this way or that way. You know, I had some knee problems, and so actually I just went away to go hiking again after I've had some injection. And I'm telling you, when your knee is an issue, every step you're very careful. I'm like mindfully walking whether I want to or not, right? And so it really helps me to know what is walking. And I'm just walking because I'm paying attention. As Suzuki Roshi said, when you learn where you are and what you are doing, the difference will be great. Zazen can lead you to this position, this home. Correct Zazen is your home. All right, I'm also going to read this poem from Jane Hirschfield. Do people know Jane Hirschfield? Yes. Given Sugar, Given Salt. This is a pretty old book by now. She also practiced at Tassajara for 3 years. Way before me. All right. So again, in Zen, we practice with objects a lot. So this is called Only When I Am Quiet and Do Not Speak. On a certain level, once we observe and we're with things, there's nothing to say. You're just doing it, right? I don't need to give instruction. I don't need to react to instructions. I'm quiet. When we're present, we're very quiet. Only when I am quiet for a long time and do not speak, do the objects of my life draw near. Shy, the scissors and the spoons, the blue mug. Hesitant, even the towels, for all the intimate knowledge and scent of fresh bleach. How steady their regard as they ponder, dreaming and waking, the entrancement of my daily wanderings and tasks. Drunk on the honey of feelings, the honey of purpose, they seem to be thinking, a quiet judgment that glistens between the glass doorknobs. Yet theirs is not the false reserve of a scarcely concealed ill will, nor that other active shine of pelted rocks. No, not that, for I hear the sigh of happiness each object gives off, if I glimpse for even an instant the actual instant, as if they believe it possible I might join their circle of simple, passionate thusness, their hidden rituals of luck and solitude, the joyous gap in them where appears in us the pronoun I. When we pause, observe, and truly experience, which we could say is be with or just being, the objects of our life, which are not separate from us, draw near. And in the irony of interbeing is when we're really connected to things, the I is not less than anything else. In the being with, ourselves is included, and we arrive right here and right now. So with practice, we get to be in the now, which is our true home. So welcome home. Thank you very much.